Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. I'm Matthew Knight, and this is In Your Embrace Daily. Friends, in today's Gospel reading, we hear another miraculous story of resurrection. Yesterday, we heard the story of the son of the widow of Nain, who Jesus raised from the dead as he was passing by that city, because his heart was moved with compassion, with mercy for this poor woman who had lost her only son. And now today we hear this wonderful story of the raising of Lazarus, who is so beautifully and simply called the one whom you love. Now Jesus and his apostles are gathered in the wilderness, in the desert really, hiding, well, we could say hiding, from the Jews. Of course, Jesus is not afflicted with fear of the Jews, but he knows his mission is not yet complete. And so, because his hour has not yet come, he and the disciples are staying together in the wilderness, when this messenger comes to them from Bethany to tell him that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, is sick. He's very ill and on the point of death. It's interesting to us that the Gospel writer St. John tells us that Jesus chose to remain for 2 days in that place. The Gospel says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he still remained in the same place 2 days. But the verse immediately prior to this tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And this should cause us to question. If Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, then why did he delay? Why did he choose to stay there in the hills, in the wilderness with his disciples, when it was a long journey to Bethany? Why didn't he set out at once? It's okay to ask these questions when we read the Gospels. These stumbling blocks in the text for us, these little difficulties that make us question, they're opportunities for us to ponder and to delve deeper into the mystery of the love of God. So we shouldn't be afraid to grapple with these difficult questions when we come upon them. So why then did Jesus remain in the wilderness for 2 more days? Because then when he departs with the disciples and eventually arrives, Lazarus is already dead. Indeed, by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So even if Jesus had left right away, he would not have arrived in time to prevent this man's death. But the answer that Jesus gives to the disciples, I think, is revealing for us. It reveals a little bit of the divine will, of his divine intentions. He tells the disciples there, when it comes time for them to set out, to go to Bethany, Lazarus, our friend, is sleeping, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples therefore said, Lord, if he is sleeping, then he will wake up. But Jesus spoke of his death, and they thought that he spoke of the repose of sleep. Then therefore Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Now let us go to him. So Jesus himself explains his actions here. He says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to prevent him from dying, that you may believe. That is, that your faith may be strengthened, may be more deeply rooted. It's one thing to see a miraculous healing. And to be sure, this is a cause of great wonder. I mean, the crowds who were following Jesus everywhere he went throughout Judea and Galilee were following him because they had seen his miracles of healing, primarily. But it is a far greater thing to see a man raised from the dead. And so Jesus says, for the sake of your faith, that you may believe, I am glad that I was not there. This episode with the Lord ought to be instructive for us. Incidentally, I also love this exchange he has with the disciples, where they completely fail to understand the Lord's point. He says, Lazarus, our friend, is sleeping, speaking about his death. And the disciples think that he's speaking about his repose. So they say, well, if he's sleeping, he'll wake up on his own. And then Jesus, you can imagine him putting his head in his hands on the verge of despair over the stupidity of these beloved men who he's chosen to follow him, says, "Lazarus is dead." I love the humanity of this moment. And it shows, I think, the tendency that we have in our humanity, in our simple human hearts, with our extremely limited perspective, to misunderstand the Lord's actions, to misunderstand the Lord's words. It doesn't help when we, or our family, or those we love, are sick, or are suffering. In moments like those, when our emotions are heightened, and we feel as though we are powerless, and there's nothing that we can do to help the ones we love, then we tend not to be entirely rational. Our reason is impaired. And we can react, for example, as Martha did when she sees Jesus arriving. She runs out to meet him in the street and to accuse him in a certain way. Not that I would say she's guilty of sin, but to accuse the Lord in the street and say, "If you had been here, he would not have died. What were you doing? Why did you wait so long?" We have this tendency to misread the Lord's actions. But let us pay attention to what he said to the disciples today and hear those words addressed to us in this present crisis. So many in the world are sick and are on the verge of dying. Many, many people are in suffering right now. And we, many of us, although to a lesser degree, participate in their suffering, in our deprivation of the sacraments and in our orders to remain at home, the disruption of our lives, etc. To add to this, many are burdened by fear, by anxiety, by loneliness. The list could go on. But the Lord says, "I am glad I was not there to prevent this, that you may believe." This reveals something fundamental to us about the divine will and about faith, namely, that it comes about very often by means of suffering. That the way of perfection takes us through Calvary. That the way of love passes inevitably along the way of the cross, the Via Crucis. And this indeed is the Lord's will. Not that God positively wills our suffering. Never. The Lord weeps. In this passage we heard today, when Jesus sees the suffering of Martha and Mary, their grief over the loss of their brother, we hear those two words, the shortest verse in the New Testament. Jesus wept. He wept because his human heart shared in the grief of these two beloved sisters over the death of the brother whom he loved. And yet Jesus can say, "I was glad I was not there, that you may believe." There is a great mystery in this. It's the salvific, the saving mystery of suffering. What John Paul II called salvifici doloris, salvific suffering, salvific sorrow. The way of the cross is steep and arduous, but the summit is bathed in sunlight. And in these two resurrection stories that we've heard today and yesterday, the only son of the widow at Nain, and Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, what should strike us above all is not the fact of suffering, but the fact equally certain of resurrection. If we trust in the Lord, if we trust in his love, if we trust in his plan, if we trust in his divine will for our salvation, for our perfection, then our resurrection is guaranteed. Because as Jesus says in this gospel today, "I am the resurrection and the life. Ego sum resurrectio et vita." This is God's identity. This is who he is. And God is always true to himself. Therefore, let us turn to him with loving confidence. Everyone must suffer. It's a fact of our human condition. everyone must suffer. But the Christian, the son and the daughter of God, which indeed we are, we can suffer well. We can choose to suffer well. We can choose to suffer differently than the world suffers. Because our hope is in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. We are his beloved, each one of us. He weeps to see us suffer. But he wills for us to pass through the crucible of suffering for a time, that we may believe, when at last he raises us up in glory to the divine life which he wills us to share with him and his Father and the Holy Spirit, the fire of divine love, now and unto the ages of ages. Amen.